Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time for a new episode of TMG.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Hey, look, guys, real quick, don't forget to visit our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with the capital T. And as always, I want to give a huge shout out to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my lovely wife, Nicole. Hey, girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Guys, listen, in a very short time, this show has really taken off. And it's being heard in places all around the globe. Yeah, places like in Egypt, in Thailand, and Switzerland, just to name a few. So to everybody that's watching and listening all around the world, thank you for streaming in to TMG. Guys, if this is your very first time tuning in, your very first time hearing my voice, let me take this time and this moment to tell you thank you for being part of the show. I'm glad of that. And whether you heard us by accident or someone invited you to watch the show, either way, guess what? I'm glad. Now, you say, Travis, hold on, man. I've been watching your show for 3 years. I've been listening to you for 3 years, man. I ain't gone nowhere. Thank you so much for tuning in and your consistency. I really appreciate it. Guys, we're going to have another amazing show tonight. We have a special guest who's going to join us, shed some light on some things. Before we do, guys, you know how to got to do it. Got to get some things taken care of. Get some stuff out the way. Now, everybody knows that this show is all about finding moments of inspiration with everyday people, like with you and like with me. So if you have an inspiring story that you would like to tell and come on the show, drop us an email. That's T-E-L-L, me something 21 at gmail.com. And so, Travis, don't want to come on a show, but I do know someone who has an inspiring story. Well, guys, drop us their information, and we'd be happy to reach out to them. And guess what? You can even remain anonymous if you'd like, so you don't have to come on the show. Guys, I'm going to play some information by our affiliate sponsors. We have some great affiliate sponsors here at TMG, Tell Me Something Good podcast. And I want you guys to visit our sponsors. The special link for our sponsors will be in the chat. Visit those sponsors. After that, we're going to dive into this show because it's going to be good. Walmart is a proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood, and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. Fanatics is the place to go for all of your officially licensed sports gear from your favorite sports and sports teams. Use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomething21, and pay a visit to our sponsor today. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. And by Mint Mobile.
sign up and find the cellular plan that's right for you. Use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomethingmint, and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link.
There it is, guys. Please visit one of our affiliate sponsors. The special links will be in the chat. Guys, if you did not catch tonight's episode is entitled Priceless. Yeah, tonight's episode, guys, is entitled Priceless. Guys, I want to put something up real quick, and I want you to tell me if you recognize what it is that I'm putting up. Can you tell me what this is that you see falling to the ground? Looks like they are diamonds falling. Diamonds, and many people can recognize diamonds when they are falling. And yeah, but a lot of times people can't really recognize diamonds face to face, because when diamonds are freshly mined and they come out of the mine, they don't look like what we think they look like. They look totally different in comparison to that. Now, many people are able to recognize diamonds that have that familiar, brilliant shine to them. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like the ones we just saw falling, the ones that are usually in a diamond ring or a diamond necklace. So you know what I mean? The ones we may most familiar with, we're seeing in rings and other jewelry. The diamonds that sparkle and catches everybody's eye. Those are the kind of diamonds most of us recognize. But there are some diamonds we kind of just don't recognize, and they are still priceless. The diamonds that sparkle. But did you know that the diamonds that get dug fresh from the earth don't resemble anything like we may be used to seeing? They're like the ones that we see, like a big rock of coal, and we wonder, like, is that a diamond? And it absolutely is. But did you know that diamonds, when they come to Earth, they don't resemble anything like we're used to seeing? And they are called raw diamonds. That's right, they're called raw diamonds. They're not raw because they have little value, but they are raw because they are untouched. That's right. That's why they call them diamonds raw. Our guest tonight, Twana Lawler, she will be sharing and showing that no matter which stage of the process you have to survive, you are still priceless. Listen, guys, she's amazing. She is a motivational speaker. She is a screenwriter. That means she writes movies, guys. That's what that means. She's a screenwriter, a playwright, a poet, a songwriter who creates riveting truths about love, life, and relationships. Guys, I want you to give a huge TMG welcome to Twana Lawler. Twana, how you doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Me? Are you kidding me? I'm doing fantastic. It's glad to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Guys, I'm so excited to jump into this and get with your story and get with this episode. Guys, you're going to love this, man. You really are. Twana, you and I, we had some conversations before the show. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, they were really just kind of opened my mind and my eyes to a lot of different things. And they really showed the resilience of people and show your resilience to be sitting here today on the show. And that's just amazing. It's an honor to have you a part of the show today. Now, we've done some talking before the show, and it was just encouraging. If you will, please let the audience know just a little bit about you, if you don't mind.
Well, you told the gist of it that I am a poet, playwright, gospel songwriter, a motivational speaker. And on top of that, I'm an AIDS survivor. And that's the most important thing. So that's pretty much it. All I do is write a lot. I just sit and write when I'm not working. I sit and write all the time. So
if, wow,
whether it's poems or on a play, and I'm working on a movie now, and I meant to tell you. about my life.
What movie are you working on?
About my life, a true story.
Guys, I told you she's good. She's working on a movie even as we speak, Tawana. How long you been working on it?
Ooh, for a few months. My daughter told me one day, she called me. And I had the night before, I had a dream.
Uh-huh.
In that dream, I kept hearing no holds barred, no holds barred. And it was yelling at me. Like, first it was kind of low, then it get medium, then it got real loud. And I heard and woke up. And then I asked the Lord, I said, were you talking to me? He said, yeah. I said, was that a title? And he said, yeah. So I'm thinking it was a title for a book. But then my daughter called and said, the Lord told her, it's time for me to start working on the book about my life. So then I started doing it. So about 3 months, and I've been working off and on it. Because I was I'm doing some other stuff, too, trying to get in some contests and stuff. So
you've been kind of busy.
Yeah.
That's what I keep hearing.
Yeah, I try to keep busy.
That's amazing that you are staying as busy, or because I know your schedule is demanding. I know you do quite a bit. And I know you don't just sit around on your fingers and your hands and thumb your nails and say, oh, well, oh, well. So I know you stay quite busy. So thank you so much for being here. This is absolutely amazing. Jessica, I don't even know where to start. It's so much to unpack. When we talked, you mentioned that something kind of tragic happened to you. Your story, everybody, and I say this to everybody, you know, this the show, part of the show says, it's about finding moments of inspiration in our everyday lives. Everybody's everyday life is completely different. Mm-hmm. Everybody's everyday life is different. Nobody's everyday life looks the same, right? And I wanted to know what's your story? So we got to figure out and dig into this about what your story is, Tawana. So when we talk, you mentioned something kind of tragic that happened to you. That happened to you that had a life-changing effect, as a matter of fact. Please, briefly, if you don't mind, share it with our audience what it was and what happened as a result of this horrific incident.
So many horrific incidents happened, so I don't know which one.
Okay, let's start with the one about the 10 years.
Okay.
Let's start with that one.
Okay. I had relocated from Louisville, Kentucky to California, and I had custody of 5 of my grandkids, and it was myself, the grandkids, and one of my daughters and her daughter. We was there for about a year, and I started getting sick, and we lived in Sacramento, and I didn't know why, and so I didn't do anything. I would just take, I would drink tea. That's what I would do. I'd drink a lot of tea, a lot of green tea. And I'm trying to do whatever to make me fit so I can feel better. But then we end up moving to LA County. And that's when they told me they think it's bladder. But first he said he thought it was kidney disease. And so come found out it wasn't that. And then I moved to Northern California, and that's where I found out what it was after I was diagnosed for lupus too. Then I went to a lady doctor, and she said, your symptoms sound like HIV.
Oh, wow.
And I said to her, because I had been celibate for 10 years.
Right,
so I
right.
I said to her, there's no way I can have that, because I was uneducated about the disease as well. So I was like, there is no way. And she said, I've been celibate for 10 years. She said, it doesn't matter. And she said, can I test you? And I said, yeah, it's going to come back. I'm okay. It's going to come back that I'm okay. And she said, well, I'm going to test you and then come back. And I had to go back in 2 weeks. And when I went back, she came in there and she said, you know, your test came back and you tested positive for HIV. I just was stoned.
I know, right?
Because I was in shock. I had not been with anybody. And then I had to sit and think, too, because it had been 10 years. Like, who the heck was I with? Because I never thought about that guy anymore. So I was
right.
And then that's when my daughter said, remember, he was the last one. And when I knew I didn't have anything. So that's the thing about it. I knew I didn't have anything. So I had been tested before. So that was devastating. So then I went through this deep denial and deep depression.
Right.
And didn't take the medicine. And 3 years later, I had a seizure. And when I had the seizure, my youngest daughter knew to lay me on my side, make sure, you know, I didn't bite my tongue or whatever. So she knew what to do in that. And then when my other daughter is the one who called 911, and they came and got me, and I had to stay in the hospital. And then I didn't, when I woke up, my daughters were standing over me and I didn't know who they were. And they were kind of shocked that I didn't know who they were, because I was like, who are you all? And that's when I was diagnosed with AIDS and dementia. And then when I went to the doctor, they said AIDS, dementia, 2 weeks to live. And my my viral load was like over a million. So that's good really, really high. And my CD4, what they call T cells, were 21, supposed to be 200 or over. So.
So your body was really working to try to fight what had invaded your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's crazy. And I got to ask. So you touched on it. So I'm going to bring it up since you touched on it. What was kind of going through your mind? You know, or can you tell us what was going through your mind? Some of the things that you were thinking. You said I was in denial. You know, I can't believe I didn't take any medicine. Got depressed. Were you angry or bitter? What was kind of feeling?
I wasn't angry. Mm-hmm. I was angry at the guy. I was angry at the guy in the beginning, but I wasn't really angry because at this point, I might have been through so much. So I was like, either I'm going to fight this or I'm just going to throw in the towel, but I done fought everything else and made it through. So, and my daughters kept talking to me and stuff. And if it wasn't for them, you know, I wouldn't be here today, because that's how bad, how depressed I was. And then I started thinking, if I had a gun, which I don't even buy guns, I was like, if I had one, I would do what my father did to himself. So I started thinking that, like, all kind of stuff was going through my mind. Like, I just didn't want to face it. I didn't want my family, my mother to know. I didn't want my brothers to know. So, you know, I didn't want my family members to know until I was ready to tell people.
Right, then, on your terms.
Yeah,
right.
On my terms. And then we didn't end up doing that when I was ready to tell, because I had to be ready to. It was hard saying that, you know, like I'm telling you now, in the beginning, it was hard doing this.
Oh,
I got praying and everything.
I can't even imagine what it was like to gather your family together, not for a family luncheon or a dinner, but to have this type of conversation with them and let them know what was going on with you, and then how it came about. So that had to be a tough conversation, not just for you to say it, but for hear you say those things. So that had to extremely be tough for everybody.
Yeah. And the thing about it is that my daughters, they the ones kept talking to me and was like, and encouraging me, because I done lost it all now, because at this, when I had, because along with the AIDS, I had dementia. So with the dementia, I didn't know how to do anything. They had to take care of me. So they was my caregivers. And they was changing the pens. I couldn't control my bowels. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't take care of myself. I couldn't take care of them kids. So they had to go back to their moms.
Right.
Because I couldn't go back home. I was in Louisville because I couldn't take care of them. I couldn't even write. I couldn't feed myself. I couldn't dress myself, anything. My daughters did all that. They bathed me, they combed my hair, they brushed my teeth, they did everything, tied my shoes and everything.
Oh, wow. So they were your complete, you were completely dependent upon them for your complete care, just like everyday care.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they did it. And not only that, Travis, my daughter said, my doctor, they threw in the towel. They was like, because I was like steadily diminishing. And so they threw in the towel, said there's nothing else we can do, put in hospice or nursing home. My daughter said, I told them no. My mom was too faithful. She ain't going nowhere. She going to stay here and we going to take her over until she got better. And I got better. Still walked and everything.
How long ago was that, Twana?
I was diagnosed with HIV in 2010. And then, and that was 10 years, and I had been celibate for 10 years. And that's when I was diagnosed. So then 2013 is when I was diagnosed with AIDS. And I got better really fast. I'm telling you, the doctor put me on a showcase you know, they, I was sitting on the table. He,
oh, wow.
Yeah, because they was like the nurse and the registered nurse, a caseworker. So many people came in their room and hugged me and stuff and said, congratulations. I'm like, for what? And they said, I wasn't even supposed to be here.
Wow. So
they didn't know how I came back.
Wow. But you know how you came back.
Yes.
Guys.
Nobody but God. Nobody but.
When we talk about, the title of the show, guys, we talk about being priceless. And we talk about things being very priceless and people being priceless. We have to understand, guys, that this story is priceless. Twana, you're absolutely priceless. And God, she's not even telling you all of some of the things that she had to deal with. We're going to unpack some of it, guys. Don't go nowhere, I promise you. We're going to unpack some more. I know some of you right now, thank you everybody for tuning in. Thank you for streaming. Come on in, come on in. We got a good one. And I know we're going to unpack some more of this, guys. And let you see it, and you can be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that, Travis. And I'm telling you, we're going to unpack some more of this. So, Tawana, apart from what you just talked about, what we just discussed, apart from being diagnosed with AIDS, and you know, you told me some of the, told us some of the things that you went through. So apart from being diagnosed with that, there was literally something else. There was something else that occurred that I'm sure impacted your self-worth as well. What happened surrounding a date? What happened around that?
It was a guy that I was dating.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his friends, I think was a relative, a cousin or something. And we all went over to his apartment. And we were sitting there. We was drinking beer and stuff because that's when I used to drink. Don't drink anymore. That's when I used to drink. I had to use the bathroom. But before I left, the guy kept on trying to hit on me. He kept saying little stuff like, you nice looking, you sexy. He kept saying stuff, and I was like, nah, I'm not like that. And so I was trying to figure out what were they up to because the guy, he never corrected the other guy. You know,
her.
You know, he never said anything. He was up there laughing at the stuff he was saying and stuff. So I went to the bathroom. When I came back, I didn't drink the beer at first because I really didn't even want it. I was tired for real. So then next thing they was like, drink your beer because it's more and stuff. So I started drinking and stuff. Next thing I know, I'm feeling like
real
woozy and tired.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, the guy, his name was Michael. He said, you go back there to the bed, get in the bed and take your clothes off. But I didn't take my clothes off because I wasn't going to take my clothes off while that guy was in there. So I didn't. So next thing I know, I wakes up and the guy, Michael's behind me and my clothes are all off of me. So I don't know how they got off, but they had to do it because I was like really, really knocked out. And when I woke up, he was trying to put his penis in my mouth and I just smacked him and I start swinging and that's all I remember. I don't remember how I got home. I don't remember if they did. I think he ended up touching me. I think he, both of them ended up doing something to me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, never really, really, I was already drinking because of the sexual assault 10 years prior. So, thinking that was going to, you know, cover up that pain. So that made me just drink worse. Heavier.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Guys, sexual assault is no joke. It's a very serious matter. And so, wait a minute, you went from a matter where you had all these other things happen to you. Now, prior to that, even we talking about, we didn't even mention, you know, the situation with your father. We didn't even mention that and how that impacted you. What was that? And what difference did that make in your life, Twana?
Oh, a lot. Not for the better, but, you know, he was my everything. Mm. You know, he did. I got three younger brothers. He did whatever we got, whatever we wanted. He took us on trips. He prayed with us. He helped cook, and we did to eat at the table like a family, normal family does.
Right, right.
He took the whole family on outings and everything. He was a good father. And my mother had left him for this guy, and I didn't know that she was moving a stranger in, and I came out of my bedroom and seeing that this man walked out of her room and he was helping us move. So I just thought he was a mover. And I said,
Right.
It's my brother. I said, what's the mover doing coming out of mom's room with a robe on?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores led by Walmart and Target are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And he said, that's her boyfriend. So then I said, I'm going back home. So when I said, I'm going back home, my three younger brothers said they wanted to go back too. So we all went. Talked to our dad, told him we was coming back. But I had to wait till that weekend, but he was being, I guess he was impatient. And he wanted to come like that next day. And he came to get us, and she wouldn't let him get us. And went home the next morning and, shot himself.
Wow. So,
yeah, and that by me being the only girl and his only daughter, you know, I was like the apple of his eye. So
absolutely.
Yeah, and that really, really, really bothered me. And I'm just angry because I didn't like my mother's living boyfriend. And then I just didn't like a whole lot of stuff that she was doing. And I'm just angry and then end up getting pregnant on purpose.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Guys, I'm going to put up a picture real quick. And I want to kind of stress what we're talking about. Tawana, you mentioned these things that happen. And things like this, when they happen, Tawana, they can really impact a person's self-worth and impact how a person sees themselves and how they believe they are precious. Because I'm going to put up a picture. Usually, most of us can recognize the picture on the right. And we say, oh, yeah, that's a diamond. But we don't recognize the picture on the left. The picture on the left is actually the picture on the right. It's what happens. It's what comes before it gets touched, before it goes through a process. And the one on the left is what they call a raw diamond. Raw does not mean that it has little or no value. It means it has not been touched. It's just in a different stage of the process. And a lot of people that we meet, they look like what's on the left. They look like what's on the left, and we can't recognize their value. And a lot of times, we'll see ourselves as what's on the left and don't even realize that we're actually more valuable than what's on the right. Raw diamonds are actually more valuable than something that has been processed because it still contains all the original parts of it. It's also the reason it's still more valuable is because every facet of that diamond is unique. Everything on the right-hand side is unique. The difference between a raw diamond and a polished diamond has to do with where it is in the process. Mm-hmm. It does not mean the raw diamond is less valuable. As a matter of fact, as I said, a raw diamond is more valuable in the dirt than a polished one. Since raw diamonds are not cut and polished and left in their natural state, get this, guys, every stone is unique. Everything is unique. Once they cut it and polish it, all you have is that one stone. But as long as it looks like what's on the left, everything about what's on the left is unique about it. Every corner, every cut, every rock, every crevice, everything that looks disfigured is completely unique. And Twana, you've been sharing some stuff with us that it says, man, your life has been disfigured. It's been bumpy. It's been rocky. But I'm here to say, Twana, you're priceless.
Thank you.
And everybody that's listening, that's watching, let me tell you something. Things may have occurred in your life. You have made some poor choices and some bad decisions. But it does not mean you are not valuable. It does not mean that you have no value. I know something and somebody told you that you were worthless. I know there's some thoughts in your mind that's telling you that you're not good for anything. But you are mistaken. You are just like the diamond on the left. You might be bumpy. You might not be shaped like everybody else. You might not have that shine like everybody else. But there is something about you that is unique. There is something about you that they can't touch. No matter how long you've been around, you are priceless. Whatever has been telling you that you are not important and that you no longer matter has simply not been true. And whatever may have happened to impact you, the way you see yourself, the way we see ourselves in life, guys, is simply not accurate. It's just not accurate, Twana. And your story and you, you're a testament to that. You're sitting here today. They gave you 2 weeks, 10 years ago. 2 weeks. 10 years ago, and here you are, like a diamond. You're shining, you're unique, you're looking good, and absolutely, if you look at those two pictures, and you look at the one on the left, and then you look at the one on the right doesn't look anything like what's on the left. You can't even tell it been through something. You can't even tell somebody had to polish it and grind it. And you can't tell the heat and the pressure that it was under. We can't tell the pressure you was under, Twana.
A lot.
We can't tell that you had to go through a process. Mm-hmm. We can't see the process. All we see is the shine.
Okay.
I thought I'd get you with that one. But that's how it is. We go through things and it shines us. And it doesn't feel good, but it shines us. We doesn't like it, but it polishes us. Every choice and decision we made, it polishes us. When did things kind of begin to turn around in a better direction for you?
When I heard the Lord's voice. I had just had surgery, and I was laying in my bed, and I had staples in my stomach. So I was laying in the bed crying out to Jesus to take the pain away. But the whole time I'm saying to myself, and I said it to the Lord too, I said, I know I'm a heathen, and I go to church, and I drink beer, and I smoke cigarettes, and I party. And then, you know, I ride around with my car with the praying hands on it and everything. Once I said that, he spoke to me. He whispered in my ear and said, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. And then when the pain did go away, and it was when I opened up my eyes, it was a light. The room was lit, and then it just started kind of dissipating, disappearing a little bit. And so the pain went away, and I got up and went to my computer and started writing those poems and been writing them ever since.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you kind of had this epiphany, this kind of like, hey, I need to do something different than what I'm doing now. And she said she reached out on her faith. She depended on her faith. And guys, let me help you out. Whether you believe the way she believes or not, that's not important here. What's important is the fact that she realized it took something more than what she could do.
Mm-hmm.
It took more than what she could do. Remember, she said she was in the bed with staples in her stomach in pain. So that means already tells you right there, it was beyond her control. Have you ever, I'm just going to ask the audience this because I know you're listening, guys. Have you ever had a situation or an occurrence that was beyond your control? I know. Things happen all the time. Things happen where they are beyond your control. And no matter what you decide to do, there comes a time when you just have to do what you have to do and get that relief. So you begin to pray and say, God, help me. And you felt him to begin to talk to you. And things begin to happen. Things begin to turn around for you.
Yeah, for the time being.
Oh, see, that was my next question. See, you read my mind. You knew what I was about to ask you. You knew that. Was it an overnight thing, or was it something that took some time to happen, or what?
Good guy.
Yeah, was it over when you asked God to help you? Was it an overnight thing where things turned around, or did it take some time?
Oh no, it was like right then and there, because when I asked him to do it, and he did it, he took the pain away.
Wow.
And then I went to the computer. And then my daughter said, one of my daughters, her name is Tanya, she would come over to see me every day. She was pregnant with her, her daughter's grown now, but she was pregnant with her. And she would come and see me almost every day when I get out from work. So She said, one day she came over there, she said, Mama, I came over here, she said, and I will see you on the computer every day writing your poems. She said, and you look like you were so much in peace. She said she went home and prayed to God and said, could you please give me just a little piece of the peace you gave my mama?
Wow.
And now she has spiritual dreams and everything. They're becoming true, too.
Wow. So when you stepped out on faith, it encouraged someone else to step out on faith. Mm-hmm. And so now she's kind of, wow. So Your life became a testament to your daughter.
Yeah. And she's like my armor bearer, for real. She is. She's been by my side like all the time.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's got to make you feel good though, right? That's got to make you feel good.
Because I was going through a whole lot when I had to step up and get my grandkids. I had a bunch of demons coming after me. I'm telling you, like a bunch of them. A whole lot. So many, I can't even count. And, you know, every day was somebody calling because they want to split them kids up, and I was not going to do that. So I stood stern on that because I wasn't even going to get the kids. I think I told you I didn't even want to get the kids because I knew my daughter was going to send me through some stuff. I just had that feeling that she was going to send me through a whole lot of stuff, and she did just that. She didn't do nothing, Travis, to get the kids back now. She's supposed to went to the classes. She's supposed to did nothing. And they gave me permanent custody. So
wow.
And I had them for 10 years. So I really raised them. So I had them for 10 years, but they got mad at me because they had to go back.
So you were a mom to them.
Yeah.
Wow.
The youngest is going on 19, and that's what she used to call me, and I would have to tell her because she was 3 months old when I got her.
Oh yeah, you definitely her mom to her.
Yeah, and that's what she tell me all the time. She said, "You still, you know, they call me Ganna," and she said, "You my Ganna, but you my mother before anything."
That's right, and that I mean, you've been there all her life to protect her and to help look out for her and provide for her. So to her, you absolutely are mom, and you will always be mom, no matter what you say or what you do. So you stuck with that one. Yeah. You're stuck with that one, Twana.
I love it, though.
She's my baby. I can tell.
Yeah, she's my baby. When I said, I'm never going to raise a baby, boy, I just loved it. I did. I just loved changing up, waking up in the middle of the night. Any other time, if I was younger, it would have gotten on my nerves. But I did it. I did it, and I enjoyed it.
Them grandkids will make you change your mind, girl.
Huh?
Them grandkids will make you change
your
mind.
Yes, they will. They the only ones can do that too. I tell people they the only ones can do that because it's something about them grandkids.
My wife and I have one, and man, he's a boy. He's our first one. He's our only one right now. And yeah, so you already know. I'm gonna have to go into.
He's a boy too.
And you already know exactly.
I'm going to be like a grandparent. Then I'm a great-grandmother. I have a great-grandson. That's my baby.
Yeah, he's 3 years old. See? Mess with him if you want to. She coming.
Yeah, this is my baby. Then any other time I would be like, a great grandmother, I won't be no great grandmother, but I was happy. I was happy because she was grown. You know, she wasn't no teenager. I got all granddaughters, Travis. 7 granddaughters and 1 grandson.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you a question. So you're writing these poems and all these different things, and you started, so you said you're looking to get into some contests. Now, I got to ask you this. I know some of the stuff you're doing. I've seen some of it. How did in the world did you begin writing plays and for movies? How did you begin being a playwright and a screenwriter? How did that even start?
Because after I was writing the poems, and I told my daughter, I said, I'm going to train myself how to write a play. And okay. I had to research it because she had to measure it a certain type of way.
Right.
And I did. And then I wrote one and entered in a contest. And it was, it made three, got to three.
Awesome. So,
that's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
That's all the confirmation you needed.
Yeah, that's all. Yes, you're right. That is all. And I said, uh-oh, I got it. And so then I wrote a movie. And that's when I wrote that movie I told you about.
Right.
So then I seen it in the Walmart. But I wrote that movie. And then I didn't do anything else because I lived in Louisville when I did that. But then when I moved to California, that's when I got heard from the guy who, Dan Garcia. That's who I wrote the three movies for. I wrote more than three movies. I wrote like 4 or 5.
Wow.
Because I was finishing them like 2 weeks. I can't do that now. But I was finished with the kids running around, making noise, throwing stuff in the background. No, they wasn't doing all that because they was very well. When they was with their grandmother, they knew better. Grandma don't play that.
Yeah, so grandma don't play. Grandma don't play.
Yeah, too many of them. They had to be like, you sit, go in a line. You had to do everything proper. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. They had to do everything because that was, and they had Jesus because we went to church. So we still Jesus. And we, my daughter even had a Bible study, her own Bible study. My grown daughter was having a Bible study. But, yeah, it was hard, but I got Tanya helped me. So, and she the one, that's what I was going to tell you. She the one said, Mama, go ahead and take them. Mm-hmm. She said, because, you know, you're going to end up regretting it because they're going to put them in foster care. And that's what made me change my mind because I didn't want to go foster care and they'd be split up and all that. You know, some foster cares ain't good for you. So, and, you know, I'd rather for them to be with me. And I was praying that my daughter got herself together, but she did. She did.
Wow, that story there is amazing, guys. Absolutely amazing. Again, guys, you're doing for other people what was done to you. You're priceless. You're showing your grandchildren how priceless they are by doing the things that you're doing. So your life just turned. You went from 2 weeks to live, 10 years later, you're writing plays, you're writing movies, you're doing so much, writing poems, gospel songwriter. You battled through a lot of different things. What kept you encouraged?
The ability that I was able to write, because the doctors kept me out on that too. They said if I got better, if I don't pass, that I'm not going to be the same. Because they were saying I was going to still have dementia and I wasn't going to be the same and I would never be able to write again. So now I love my gifts. I loved them at first, but now I love them. I adore them. I tell God, thank you. Every time when I'm writing, I tell him thank you. And I listen to gospel music as I'm writing because These gifts came from him. It didn't come from anybody else. It came from him. So, and I'm grateful for that because I love what I do. I really do.
Wow. Wow. Guys, that's absolutely amazing, Twana. I really love that. I'm going to put up something here real quick. Let's see here. I'm just going to put up your website. I know you're on social media, Twana. I know mm-hmm. you are. Where can they find you? Are you on Facebook, Instagram? Where can people find you?
I'm on Facebook and Instagram. Instagram is Songwriter Plus.
Okay.
Songwriter Plus. And then it's another one. I got 2 Instagrams. Then Twana the writer. Twana then a dash. Twana then like the little underscore. Twana underscore. I think that's what it is. It's Twana Lawler the writer.
Don't worry, I'm going to have it on the screen in a minute.
Okay. Yeah, because I can't remember that one.
Let me share your website right here where everybody can see it.
Okay.
There we go. Everybody's looking at your website right now. And I'm just going to scroll through it. This is one of your plays, part one of your plays right here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
They just turned them into movies.
Oh, wow. Incredible. Guys, look. We're looking at her stuff here. All this great stuff here on her website. Who is this?
That's me.
All this wonderful stuff, guys, here. Home movies. She's an AIDS survivor, poetry, creative work, bookstore, more. Guys, she has a lot of stuff. I saw this. I watched that video. It was great. There's some books by her show. Here it is. So you're doing some books, some writing. So she's doing some great things, guys. Visit her website. It's TWANALawler.net. TWANALawler, LAWLER.net. That is her website, guys. As you can see, she has lots of videos on here of stuff that she's done. Here's her email address here, guys. Right here, info@TWANALawler.net. Again, that's info@TWANALawler.net. Let me go ahead and get that off screen. There we go. Man, that is absolutely fantastic. What you've been able to do with your life. What is one thing that you would share, you could say to someone who's listening right now? All right, let's say there's somebody that's listening right now and you're looking at them face to face, eyeball to eyeball. What would you say to someone listening right now who might not be feeling quite priceless right now? They might be feeling, I made so many mistakes. I've done so much wrong, or so much has happened to me in my life, or this has happened, and that has happened. What would you say? Someone who's gone through so much. What would you say to someone who may not be feeling priceless and struggles with how they see themselves? What would you say to them?
I would first tell them to be faithful, because being faithful is very important. Because that's one thing I was the whole time. I was faithful. I never lost my faith. Ever. I never wavered on the faith. I never straddled the fence about Jesus or none of that. And don't be quick to get angry. Because that's one thing. I got angry, and then I knew I had to apologize for me being angry. Mm-hmm. You know, and then Jesus said you need to apologize to yourself too. So a lot of us need to apologize to ourselves. That's what he said to me. After I apologized for being angry at the guy for giving me the disease, mm-hmm. Now you need to apologize to yourself.
So there's some chance we have to do some, we have to forgive ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Have to forgive ourselves. Because and when you think about it, I was angry at myself for real. Because, you know, I wanted to beat myself up outside of my head. Like, what were you thinking? especially with the guy, I thought I was already celibate. So I'm like, what was you thinking? I was telling that guy, I want to wait till I get married. And, I want to do everything different now. And I don't want to do the same old thing that, you know, that right. I done before. And he's like, I'm going to marry you. I love you. I'll tell you, he was feeding me that fish oil.
Tawana, I think there are quite a few people that will be hearing this that can say they all had a tablespoon or a whole jar of that same fish oil. So you're not by yourself. I want to absolutely thank you so much for being here, Tawana. I really mean that. Each of us, guys, each of us are valuable. We are. Each of us are valuable, and not because someone else says so or even acknowledges us. Even if someone doesn't acknowledge us, you are still valuable. You are still priceless. You're like the raw diamond. You're like that rough diamond that I showed earlier. You're valuable long before someone finds you and tries to place a price tag on you. There's only one you. And you truly are priceless.
Thank you.
Guys, it's about that time. And as always, I want to say a real thank you for our guest being here today, Ms. Tawana Lawler. Guys, thank you for being a part of the show today. And as always, it's been a real blast. Don't forget, right here, you can stream in every Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, every Thursday to listen to the show. Or you can stream it on your favorite streaming platform like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora Music, and so many more. Guys, we got to get out of here. But before we do, as always, in parting, if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. I'm out of here. I got
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.